Well, what a delightful family. And then you have little Aiden, which is the older brother, as well as James. So thank you, Jesus, for sending the Masons to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, and to see what's happening in Orange County and really around Southern California. So I just knew that you would enjoy that. Let's take our Bibles in hand. I trust if you are first time here that you've had a chance to get one of our bulletin cards. The bulletin cards are very helpful for you to consider and to take notes with. So would you do that? We're taking a look at the scriptures from the New Living Translation, but whatever translation you have will be just fine as well. We do like you to take notes. It's going to be important. You're going to see right there on the back of your bulletin cards. Please don't rely upon your memory. Let's begin. We are finalizing our last of our series. That series is entitled Overcoming the Dark Side of Stress. So we're overcoming the dark side of stress. We've been looking at some specific areas that really cause people stress. Today's message is entitled Reducing Relationship Stress. So we're going to look at relationships and how that builds stress. So most of us have experienced what it is with intense stress in relationships. Because relationships are so important in the human life, it's vital for us to have healthy relationships. It's just profound when those relationships are not working well. It adds such great stress to people's life. When we start to see certain things that are happening, we start to see specifically in our society, our current world, the culture, society is not doing well with relationships. Generally, most we are finding people have become quite mean. People have become critical to others, more intolerant, hyper-judgmental. Those kinds of informational relationships start to cause stress for people. One of the things that I'm excited that we're going to have this coming Sunday coming is that we are going to have a Christmas party. And on Sunday night, we're going to have a professional comedian called Nazareth. So we hope that you will come and loosen up a little bit. Matter of fact, get the most high-strung friend or vindictive enemy, bring them. And we're going to have a good time next Sunday. We're thrilled about that. It's just a holiday element that's happening. But we're seeing here that there are things that are happening with regards to our society, and it's pushing people emotionally and mentally really to just harmful conditions within our minds and our thinking. So when we look at today reducing relational stress, it's important. Why? Because the quality, and you can write this down if you'd like, the quality of our relationship will determine the quality of our life. So if you are not having good, even one bad, sour relationship will make your life really not much fun. And what a terrible way to enjoy the holidays. So how can we make some adjustments? Let's take a look at our notes here. We're at point number one, pursue God's relational values. Anytime we are living contrary to anything of God's value, anything, you must know that's going to cause stress in the life of especially a believer. I think for non-believers, where we feel like, man, my life, there's got to be something else in life worth living for, that should usually lead us to Jesus. He's always the answer. But when we have relationships that are not working well, then that's going to cause stress. One of the high values of God is relationship. But we see something that's happening in our world. Relationships are disposable. Something that's called a cancel culture. If you do not like what another person is doing or saying or believing, you eliminate them from their life. Now you can imagine that kind of element there. It would cause stress in anybody because in our DNA as human beings, we need relationships. You and I need relationships. You who are watching at home, I'm sure distance keeps you back. But we need relationships in our lives. So our current culture is, I don't like what you represent, you're out. We cut people out. So if we are going to make a change there, I want to present to you three things we want to embrace. Look at our notes. Letter A, relationships represent God's highest priority. Now let's take a look here. It's going to be important for us. Highest priority. Let's see what are the top two directives from the Lord. I'm in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now, I know you and I have seen these before. Maybe you've memorized that. But I want to make sure we don't become over familiar with this same two commandments. I want to really kind of push in on that with you a little bit and say, take a look now with this. This is God's highest value of priorities, relationship. And here they are. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Those are the most important way we know to follow Jesus. If you say, man, I'm following Jesus, then let me tell you, the two top priorities in God is you and I need to be enjoying a very loving experience with God and very loving experience endeavoring with people. That's important for us because all people could see, if they could see you currently in relationships to whomever and whatever that looks like, what would they discover from you? What could be, for God, relationships, again, a very high value. Now, we know that some good deeds that we will do, some good deeds we'll do for people, that shows a relationship. But when we're talking and emphasizing high value, being relationship, that is much more important to God than things that we would want to maybe contribute or our church attendance or somehow serving. It's not giving our money that's a high value to God. Can you see with me? It is relationship to God, relationship to people. Top commandment. I just want to add that to our perspective. Now, Jesus, so important to him, relationship, he came and he died. It's a good deed, right? For you to have a relationship with God Almighty. So that's a value of God. I want you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to be a part of my forever kingdom. I'm going to do everything I take to make it happen, even when we were not even interested in him. Glory to God. What a loving Savior. So if you were to think about eternity with me, because we'll all be there one day. We'll all be there. Eternity will one day kick in. And it's not going to look like what we currently have on this earth. But you must understand as Christians, for you who are believers, the high priority, the high value of relationships, we will be examined by God. So write down, if you don't mind, just and look at it later, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one will receive what he has done in this body, whether it be good or bad. So we will have an evaluation going on. That is to Christians. God wants to see how you're going to maintain those top two values of his. It's going to be important. I believe to hold that ourselves accountable to those two qualities is very important. I think it's going to be naive for any of us to think Jesus will not use this particular structure of his values of making sure we love God and love our neighbors as if it's just something we'll try to keep in focus. Let's take a look here. Letter B, relationships represent our most important proof, of who we're following. Check out with me here, John 13, verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So we're taking a look at the value that God holds to relationship. But isn't it interesting? Either make or break our witness to society. It's like God is literally allowing the world to judge us. How are they judging us? With how we love or how we value our fellow Christians. So they're going to take a look at that and understand. So you can imagine why Satan would want to ruin any form of relationship you might have, any form. Because that is a witnessing tool to the world to see if you are of any different in your approach in caring for people. So if you currently might have a relationship that is really sketchy, not going well, I want to just let you know, you who are believers, got to recognize that Satan probably is at work to try to break you down. And if you overlook that, no wonder why it's gone on so long. Because the Bible says you do not wrestle with flesh and blood. God died for that person, that scoundrel, right? But nevertheless, you must take authority against those things to make any form of relationship even possible, or you may be having interference from realms of darkness. Be careful about that. Letter C, relationships create our highest purpose. How does a relationship create our highest purpose? Naturally, it's love. Check out what 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 says. It says, "For if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing." Matter of fact, verse 3 goes on and says, "And even if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and even give my body to be burned but have not love, it nets me zero." Can you imagine that? You or I could do whatever we want in a realm of good things, but if we do it without love, Scripture says it nets you, here it is, zero. So you have to consider that. That's why here at Hope Chapel, when we even take up tithes and offerings, say, well, what would be the motive behind me giving? It's got to be love. You can give anything you want, but if there's not love for God or the effort to say, I want it to go to something that's going to produce kingdom results, then it nets us zero. So it's important. So let's continue that. To not pursue loving God or loving others, I want you to know that's a very foolish way to live your life. Very foolish. Because we're just talking Scripture to bring us back into focus with what's a priority with God. Can you imagine? We all have an opinion. We all have a goal. But I'm telling you, this is like A number one. Very important, especially when we're trying to eliminate stress in relationships. Some of that could be because we are out of sorts with God's priorities. Let's take a look. So first of all, pursue God's relational priorities, values. Number two, practice forgiveness to protect your relationships. Very important when we take a look at that. So how do we live this truth out? Letter A, expect imperfect relationships. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of that, reminding ourselves, but it's always fascinating to me how we forget that people just are imperfect. And we get very upset when they don't come through to us. But check out the scripture here in Colossians 3:13, where it says, make allowance for each other's faults. Here it is. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Let's take a look. We're talking about trying to protect our relationships that are important to us. So how do you do this? Well, we stop expecting people. Stop it. Stop expecting people to be perfect. We expect people to never disappoint us, never let us down. Those are unrealistic expectations. It's stress. Everybody say stress. I'm telling you, just try to lay somebody out there, say they're going to be perfect. You're setting yourself up for a stressful season of your life. Be careful. So now I don't want to lower our standards. I'm not trying to say, well, just like let it all be unraveled and be whoever you want to be. That's not what I'm saying. It really comes down, though, that the relational fact is you're going to find there's going to be ample opportunity for you to fit in forgiveness. It's going to be so important and vital for us. There's a way to practice this, though. I have found it's very helpful that we make sure that we come along and assume a positive intent when somebody disappoints us. Go with a positive intent. Our human nature will always go toward a negative intent. When somebody doesn't come through the way we think, or they disappoint or let us down, or they appear to be unloving in their action, or they come across and our minds are just bent on the fact that, man, they must have really just set us up for hurt. They intentionally did this. And we just go ahead and go to the extreme that somewhere along the line, they have negative intentions when they did that or said that, and we demonize people. People come along and just say, that person is really evil. And all they did was one little disappointing element. It's amazing how we can go in that direction. Watch out. Remember, positive. We want to go and assume positive intent. Assuming that is so important. So don't intend to just assume people have hurt you. Make sure that they did that. Yeah, it was a stinger, but I know they didn't mean to wound me. That wasn't out there to disappoint me. They didn't go about ignoring me intently. They didn't go about disrespecting me. They're not really a terrible person. That's a positive intent. Assuming positive intention will help you. Giving allowance for all of our weaknesses and brokenness. I've been on the receiving end of people thinking I'm an absolute jerk because I overlooked them at a restaurant. It's just amazing how people can come across and think the absolute possibly worse. So if you've ever had that happen to you, be careful. Usually I'll just say, man, they're probably having a bad day. They probably just don't understand. Maybe I didn't explain myself well. But don't go to the absolute negative place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That'll save your bacon and maybe preserve your relationships. Letter B, choose forgiveness rather than the stress of bitterness. Choose to forgive. Now, we've all heard this, but I really sense in my heart, especially you who are at home or maybe in that workstation, need to hear this once again because you're in it in a stressful environment right now. I like Colossians 3:13. We just read it. Remember, it says, forgive anyone who offends you. It's pretty much a command. Forgive anyone who will offend you. So we live in an offensive culture today, don't we? People are so easily offended. Please think it with me. If you haven't offended somebody, you will. I'm telling you. People get offended. They cannot accept a different opinion. That's just our society. What has happened? I've lived long enough to realize it was never that way. There's always healthy little debates. It's like, wow, I see your side. I don't agree with it, but that's kind of interesting to hear about it. But people get offended. And I'm just going to be blunt. That is absolutely, when people get offended because somebody has a different opinion, that's emotional immaturity. People are immature. And they just go to the absolute cutting that person off, not wanting to hear. So be careful about that. Scripture says offenses and relational wounds will come. And what should we do? We forgive. We forgive. That's important. If we don't, can you imagine? It's highlighting something when we choose to become one that refuses to forgive. If you refuse to forgive anyone, what ends up happening is you are still connected to that offender in a negative way, emotionally. You will never break free. So if you want to have a release, well, forgiveness is where it's at. So important. Forgiveness keeps you continually connected to the offender. Unforgiveness, write that down. Unforgiveness will continually keep you connected to your offender. you will not be around that person. You won't even really have any further access of harm, but they just grind you, and it's terrible. Choose to not forgive not only impacts you, but it will also affect everybody around you. It will affect people in your life, and that's where the tragedy really comes. People who did nothing to you, but all of a sudden look, smell, and act like the offender person, then you start to raise up and cause some problems. Remember, release the person from that emotional debt in your life, and you actually release yourself. Glory to God, it feels so good. It feels so good. There's times now I'll talk about my time as a youth pastor and how I was really probably very much mismanaged in leadership above me, but I can talk about it and it does not affect me. That's a beautiful thing. I had somebody in the first service say, well, how do you get there? Well, you just forgive. And now it becomes like a scar. Anybody have? I got a few physical scars on me, but a scar doesn't hurt anymore. Just say, well, that was an event in my life. And that's a beautiful thing. When you can get to that point and say, it does not affect me emotionally anymore. Glory to God. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. Remember, again, Colossians 3:13. Remember, the scripture says, remember, it literally says, the Lord forgave you. So when we lose sight of our own need for forgiveness, you start to see it in people. I certainly start to see it in people. A little bit of a religious spirit starts to happen to them. You know what I start to see in people when they forget that they need forgiveness? They start to hang on to offenses. They justify their unloving behavior. Can you imagine Christians doing that? They start to come along and they show an attitude and they start to classify sins as if theirs is much less than the one that did that to them. And then they start to come in a direction when all of a sudden they get quick to judge and they show no mercy or grace. Wow, God forbid. God forbid. That's a tough environment to hang out with believers like that. Don't let it be. Listen, Jesus' forgiveness is daily. Ooh, man, I use that all the time. It's daily, it's continuous, it's constant. Is your forgiveness daily to others? Do you practice daily forgiving others? Because if you don't need to forgive anybody today, guess what? So, eventually you will. Eventually you will. Be careful about that. I love and rely upon the forgiveness of Jesus. So, I'm sure you might consider, and you know, it's interesting even thinking, there's probably, as we look, probably somebody in our life right now we need to forgive. I want to pause here for a moment. And would you just close your eyes? And you who are with us, thank you for joining us. I get so blessed that there are so many that continue to follow Hope Chapel and hear at least this series as well. But if you take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit now to speak to you about that individual, maybe a group, that you need to issue forgiveness toward, what a great way to lift stress from your life and bring the kingdom into your life. Salvation's a given through the cross of Jesus, but what about now? You're not experiencing the fullness of that life Jesus promised. Let's let the Holy Spirit bring that person or that place or group to you now. Do you take a moment now and just use that person's name or that situation? Say, I forgive them. I forgive them. It's not to cheapen what they did. They legitimately harmed you. Lord, we forgive in Jesus' name. Could be a whole church, maybe a pastor, maybe my parent, maybe my child. Lord, I forgive them. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's my ex-spouse. Maybe it's my work associate. Lord, I forgive them. It's my life group leader. Lord, I forgive them. Jesus' name. I'm going to look forward to, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to look forward to some physical healings take place. I'm trusting that you will tell us how that back pain took off, or really the possibility that your cancer now is in remission, because we've seen and experienced and give testimony how much unforgiveness actually gets a physical grip. It's almost like a creature. It's terrible. It breaks my heart that people hold something against someone else, but they themselves are shriveling up and dying. Don't let that happen. Let me hit the final points. I hope it will be a healthy, happy tool for you. Number three, prioritize your relationships for time. Much of our stress is trying to help establish quality, balanced relationships with everybody, but that's impossible. You and I all have the same time, but we might have more demands on that time from a variety of people. So we're trying to disperse our time and our energy and our resources, and that just adds to your stress. I like what Jesus did. Let's use his example. He's always my high water mark. Let's see a couple of verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Check it out for a moment, because he goes to 12 he picks with. It says, "And at daybreak he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles." So from a group of people, a large group, he picked 12. Let's move on to the next one. Let's go to Matthew 26, 37. "And he took Peter, James, and John and became anguished and distressed." Now there's other times he pulled these three together, but I just picked this one to say from the 12, now he went to three. That's important for us. Jesus loves everybody, but even he went after 12, spent time with them, then three. And then the next verse is in John 20, verse 2. "She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved." Now, we know John is writing this. He probably injects his own description. But let's just say this. Jesus had a best friend. So from 12 to 3 to 1. Research says that the average person can only have close proximity 5 people. And you need to really check out who those 5 core people are. Jesus had 3. But you need to make sure, because those people will influence your behavior, your attitude, your thinking. Pick wisely. Research says that by the time your life is done, you'll have influenced, or vice versa, 150 people. I always thought it was 300. From just a passing glance to somebody in your little life group to somebody that you spent time with and journeying, followed for a brief moment, 150. But 12 to 3 to 1. So you can't take advantage of everybody. You will stress yourself out. Choose wisely. Letter A, not every relationship has the same priority. Boy, I'm telling you, if you don't know, I mean, I'd love to embrace and spend time with everybody I know. I just realized that's going to stress me out just thinking about that. But I try. Every person I see in the grocery store, I take it as maybe an axe moment where I get a chance to talk with them. But I cannot try to filter through everyone, but prioritize. Now, I know this might sound a little bit unloving, but you have chaotic, stressful relationships in your life. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've already axed them. Good job. But relational boundaries help keep us sane. Sane. And it's important because many of you give too much time to your critics. And you have to understand, a critic refuses to be loved and refuses to learn. But because you're a Christian, you think the loving thing to do is, I'm just going to give them more time. And they'll eventually come around. They will not change. You have to prioritize your relationship. And I found a verse to help you. You know, I always like to make decisions based on Scripture. But let's look at Proverbs 9:37. Proverbs 9:7. And it says, anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return, and anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. I see that. But some of you will still say, but I'm going to love them into health. Well, how long has that been? How's that working for you? We're on the sixth year, and they still demand all of your time. And sometimes we get no quality involvement here at your church or at your mission statement because these critics will criticize you. I think we all have areas where we got to walk on eggshells. You know that terminology? You better be careful what you say, and you better call them up at the right time or they will fillet you. I would cut that out. So you need to be careful about that and watch out. So let me just hit the final two while we get ready to sing. Letter B, identify the level of your relationships. So that's important. Family, friends. Why don't you just take a look? These are important relationships I have. It's wonderful, so spectacular when we have group gatherings in the name of Jesus. That's Jesus' design. The church is called ekklesia in Greek. That means called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. That's what the church means, ekklesia. Called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. That's what the church does. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. You are sanctified and separated. That's the church. Jesus says, Pete, I'm going to build my church on that rock, and the gates of hell won't prevail. So sometimes we just need to gather out from society and hear a message like this to say, oh, man, this is something different. Maybe it might eliminate my stress. Letter C, make relational investments based on relational priorities. Well, it's a great way when you put up boundaries, especially those people that don't reciprocate or really appreciate all that you do. But it's important that you go ahead and prioritize your core group and best of your friends and family and just put it into play there. Remember, you can't touch everybody. It'll only add stress to you. So once again, as we wrap things up, I want to pray for you. Remember, pursue God's relational values. Practice forgiveness to protect those relationships that are important to you, and prioritize your relationships that really do matter most. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you. How important it is to follow what you say is a priority. We want to live that abundant life that you promised us. So, Lord, if there's any among us or those that watching that are not living the abundant life, then, Lord, we choose you. We choose to follow your ways. And if there are those who are here and need to reestablish their relationship with you, maybe give their lives to you or rededicate their lives to you, then, Lord, what a perfect time this holiday time. I want to invite you who are here, let's go ahead and just pray this simple prayer. Shall we do this together? And for you who are at home, go ahead and pray it out loud, even if somebody's across the room. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I confess to you now that I have sinned against you, against others, and I ask you, forgive me, Almighty God. Dear Jesus, I put you first place in my life. Come into my life. Help me to live for you. You already know I need your help. I believe help is on the way. Help is right now. Your help is mine today. And that I'm going to experience miracles because you're a part of everything. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I felt some things were breaking loose. I am grateful. Praise God. Well, I know the person to the left and right of you are your best friends. You may not even know who they are. So why don't we just stand up? Let's sing a song before we come back for a concluding prayer, okay? Merry Christmas. What a great morning.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.